Let us then turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 8. As we continue in Romans 8, we begin reading at verse 18 and reading through verse 30 of Romans chapter 8 as we continue looking at the marvelous, awesome grace of our God and salvation. We take a look at the groaning which we have within ourselves, looking forward to that great day of salvation. Even as we suffer, as we've sung, yet, Lord, the Lord knows, and the Lord is directing all things together, as we well know, Romans 8:28, to the good of those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So even suffering is not outside of God's gracious hand and directing for our good. So Romans 8, beginning reading at verse 18 and reading through verse 30. Let us hear together the word of Almighty God. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but He makes intercession because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider God's word this morning, notice that first verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. As we live within this world, we live through suffering. We live through trials. Notice something else as I study this passage, and I've studied it before, but I didn't notice this nearly as clearly. This world is subjected to futility. That's obvious. But it's subjected in hope. Even this world looks forward to the day in which Christ shall come again to judge the living and the dead, because those who are God's people will be revealed. And it will enter into the new heavens and the new earth. Will be this world renewed to perfection. And we have that wonderful promise. But brothers and sisters, not only this world, but we ourselves press forward in great hope to that day. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And as we look at this passage, we see two parts to the passage in verses 18 through 25. We see that this cursed world and believers groan in hope. We have a hope, even as we groan within ourselves because of our sins. And in verses 26 through 30, we see that the Spirit assures us of what has been ordained since before time. The Spirit assures us that all things work together for the good of God's people. And so, first of all, this cursed world and believers groan in hope. Excuse me for a second. This creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of light. The sufferings of this present time, we're told in verse 18. The worst sufferings of this world. I was listening to a podcast this past week, and I heard the story of a man who, I couldn't barely listen to the podcast. I couldn't listen to his story. It was so horrifying what had been done to him by his own parents. And yet, he became a Christian, and he realizes the truth of what God says. That this suffering is nothing compared to what God has stored up for us as Christians. No matter how bad it can get in this world, first of all, everybody says, well, it's never so bad it can't get worse. It's at least it's not that bad. We have a realization that it could get worse. Well, we have to understand that it certainly could get worse. We could go to hell. We have far better given to us in Christ Jesus. Think of Christ who suffered in this world to gain the glory that He has received. Think of Paul and what he suffered for the gospel. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 and following. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in the perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness. And he says, I count all of this but rubbish for the prize of the gospel. So, no matter how bad it gets within this world, our focus needs to be on Jesus and on the salvation which God has given to us. Think of Job and what he suffered. And when he said, I want to speak to God, and God did condescend to speak to Job, what was God's answer about how bad it was? Where were you when I created the universe? Are you the one upholding it? Are you the one who takes care of the animals? God is. The answer to our trials is not to say, look, God, you forgot about me. But to realize that God is caring for each and everything. And that God is doing it perfectly. And we're going to see, honestly, it just amazed me as I consider this passage in preparation for today. As we consider that the world was subjected to futility. You look around yourself in the world. And you see the things that go on. We have to realize that God subjected this world in hope. Even this world looks forward to that day in which the sons of God will be revealed. The sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. The glory that God has prepared for us, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We can't even think about it. We haven't seen it. And we can't even imagine it. That's what God has prepared for us. Better than anything we can come up with. And yet, this world, as we said, was subjected to futility. It was cursed. The creation is cursed. We read in Genesis 3:17 and following, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat of it. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The ground brings forth thistles. Everything that is broken in this world is because of our sins. We have to understand that. We have to realize that. When we struggle in this world because things don't work right, I don't care what it is, whether it's a piece of equipment, whether it's a computer, whether it is just our own bodies. We have to understand that everything that is broken is because of our sin. But this creation is subjected in hope. You know, think about that. The things that are just horrific within this world. When you think about, the way in which the animals tear one another apart. You turn on the TV for a little while and watch, you know, the Serengeti. And you think about how all of that works, all that death going on. And you think about other things that are just, you know, people say, well, I can't believe in Christianity because there are these horrible things within this world. There's just so many of them. And yet, what does God say about that sort of thing? This world, the creatures of this world are under the curse. They are subjected to futility. Not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it. God subjected this world to futility because of our sins. Yet, it is in futility, in hope, for the coming day of the glory of God and of His people. All of these years, these centuries, these millennia of futility for the world, in which things go on and our minds can't comprehend what's going on in this world. But it was subjected to futility. All of the brokenness is because of our sins. But it all points forward in hope. All of this death, all of this mess made by sin in the natural world has a purpose. It's looking forward to Christ's return and to the glory with which it will be clothed. And that's just the world. This world eagerly waits for the judgment, for the revealing of the sons of God. When they are revealed, it will be released from its imprisonment under the curse. Look at verse 21 with me. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This world, as we think about, and you know, whether you be a rancher and you think about all the cattle that die in terrible snowstorms. We had a couple of years ago, we had a terrible one of those that did in numerous cattle. Or whether you think of this year with the ice and the number of deer and the number of pheasants and other things that died. All of that is because of God's curse on our sins. But notice where it goes. The creation also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God says that this is all worth it to the world, looking forward to the day, the glory which we have promised to us in Jesus Christ. It will be restored. It will be part of the new beauty and glory of the new heavens and the new earth. Acts 3:21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. And the creation groans with labor pains. Until now, we read verse 22. Now, how do birth pangs work? They're hard work, they're painful, they're scary, and I've just been on the watching side. But at the other end, you have the baby, and at least my wife seems to forget pretty quickly how much pain she was in. She's glowing with the fact that she's a mother again. Brothers and sisters, as we think about that comparison, this world lives in labor pangs. Our life is a time of trial, but it points us forward to that which God has provided for us in eternity. And we wait in hope. This world waits in hope, we're told here, and believers wait in hope. After being subjected to the futility, this world waits in hope. How much more you and I, who will enter into consciously the wondrous glory which Christ has for His people. The glory which shall be revealed in us, we read in verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a much a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we groan within ourselves. We groan looking forward to the redemption of this body as we fall apart, as we get older. We say, why can't I do the things I used to be able to do? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. That no longer will we struggle with this infirm body because of sin. Our bodies will live forever and be glorified forever with Jesus Christ. And so we live within this world like Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. As we look around ourselves in our culture, and as we look at our own selves and the things that we so easily desire as sinners, do we have that feeling? How horrific this is, that we are tormented by the wickedness of our culture. It's too easy to get used to this culture and this world and say, this is as good as it's going to get. Brothers and sisters, don't get comfortable here. This is but a pale imitation of what God has prepared for us. And we wait for the redemption of our body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able to subdue even all things to Himself. God will transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to His glorious body. We are saved in hope. But it is unseen hope. Hope is unseen. We don't hope for things that we have already seen. We read in Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith we understand. By faith, we understand what God has promised to us. We believe God, what He has said. And so we wait for it eagerly. Verse 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with perseverance. We are not to be comfortable in this world. We are to be eager for the new heavens and the new earth. And we wait with perseverance. If we have a knowledge of what is coming to us, we go through this world not as those who embrace everything here, but as those who are saving up the best part of our life is in heaven, in the new heavens and the new earth, not here. So then, how should we live in this world, Peter says. We are called to live in preparation for the new heavens and the new earth. And the Spirit assures us of what has been ordained before time. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered according to the will of God. We don't know what we should pray. James 4 verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. We don't know what we should pray. Yet in context here, the destruction of this world or the saving of sinners. Those are the two that are being laid out right here. And the Spirit then makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We talked about that last week. We didn't receive a spirit of bondage, but a spirit by which we can cry out to our Heavenly Father as our Father. And so, the Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. The Spirit's intercession for us is perfect, being our God yet dwelling within us, because He knows God and He knows us. Who searches the hearts? God does. God, who is the righteous judge, who is the just judge, God who knows all things wisely, knows our hearts, He who searches our hearts. Jeremiah 11:20, "But, O Lord of hosts, You who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see Your vengeance on them, for to You I have revealed my cause." But God is the one who knows hearts and tests our hearts. And He knows our needs better than we do ourselves. The Spirit dwells within believers. He knows our hearts. He knows them perfectly. And so He intercedes for us before the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who brings our requests before God perfectly. And we know then that all things work together for our salvation according to God's eternal plan. Those whom He foreknew, He also predestines. God designates through all history what was going to happen. And so God directs. And notice the perspective of all of this, that it is past tense. Not just these foreknew and the predestined, but whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. It's all in the past tense. Because our salvation is completed in Jesus Christ. And so, we have this, it is called the golden chain of our salvation. That God works through history. God uses history to bring about our salvation. But we need to understand that God works all of these things together for His people, for us. In Romans 8 here, notice the correlation. That God saves the same ones. There are people who want to break this up. Well, the first ones are foreknew, and then predestined were fewer than that, and then after that, fewer than that. Notice how very carefully God writes this. Whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. There is no difference in the number. There is no difference in the names. These are the same people. And there is no loss between one and then the next and then the next. It is very clear. There is virtually no way God could have made it more clear. We have how God works out our salvation, worked out fairly clearly of what God does to save us. We call this in theological circles the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation. But in relation to the previous verses, we see that all things work together to good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His people's purpose. All things, even the curse, even the groaning of this cursed world, even God uses sins, and even my sins, not that we glory in sin, not that we continue in sin that grace may abound, but God even uses my past sins, our past sins, to prepare us, to put us where we are, so that we are in the place He wants us. As we said, we don't then play around with sin, but we have to understand that God is sovereign, even using that. And so, no matter what the trial, no matter what goes on in our lives, God assures us that what has been ordained before time will come about. And He has that all worked together for our salvation, for the salvation of those whom He calls. And those whom He calls will believe. Not that we know who those are, so it's not, people say, well, then Reformed people don't believe in mission work, in evangelization. No, we don't know who that is. God uses us to that end. God ordains not only the end, but also the means by which that comes out. But we have to understand that we live in a cursed world. We live in a broken world. But brothers and sisters, don't set our eyes on this world. Set our eyes on Jesus, the Savior who has promised, who has guaranteed that He will work all things together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so we can have that promise that if we love God, He is working everything together, even the brokenness of this world, even our own brokenness, for our salvation. And so, brothers and sisters, we have the wonderful, awesome God who God is. That the sufferings of this present time, the trials, our own struggles with sin, our own foolishness with which we have to struggle each and every day, the trials of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that God has for us, given to us in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in our congregational prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the salvation which You have purchased, and You have bought us, body and soul, from sin, from hell, from the judgment which we deserved. And so, Lord, we come before You in thanksgiving and in praise, that as we live within this world and as we are tried within this world, our focus is on Jesus Christ, on our Savior, and on the promise which You have given to us of eternal joy and eternal glory such as we can't even ask or imagine. We pray, O Lord, that we would not take our focus off of those things and place it on this world and the things of this world, but that our focus would be on Jesus Christ alone. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving for what He paid, for what He did, that we might have life and life abundant. For we pray these things, praying as Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.